This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Welcome once again to another edition of Fender Bender. My name is Tim Nicholson. Very, very excited to have your company on this scorching Saturday. We hope wherever you are staying safe and hydrated in Victoria or South Australia. If you are somewhere else, then lucky you, because it is pretty stinking hot in the southern states of Australia today. Of course, thanks to Pete Dillon for the last time. I was going to say this year, but it's not this year because he will be continuing on because he's fabulous. For Cravings. He will be back next week, of course. We will not, however. Fender Bender is having a small break for a few months, so I suggest that you break out the tissues right now because it's going to be emotional. I'm feeling it already. I'm not really. But I am feeling that I have some company here in the studio, of course. Mike Costello, Dan Gardner, boys, welcome once again. How are we?
I'm a little bit... tear stricken. You know, knowing this is our last show for a couple of months, Tim, I'm a little bit heartbroken.
A little bit emo.
Yeah.
It's a bit sad.
It is a bit sad.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. It's that whole post New Year and Christmas feeling of just I need to eat lots of green things for a couple of weeks and maybe run a little bit.
Yeah. I need to eat air if you can. If that can fill you up, that would be terrific. It has been a disgusting week.
I'm just surviving on sunshine alone.
He's like a plant.
He is much like a plant.
You know, you guys complaining about the heat. This is. I'm in my element today.
What kind of British person are you?
Well, you're not
anymore, are you?
So. A really crap one, I suppose.
A very tanned one right now.
Thank you for noticing. Yes,
no, not a tan line in sight.
No, I'm this colour
just
all
some
over.
Teeth and some eyes. That's essentially it.
No, so, I'm loving this. This is great. This is the best time of year. I think, you know, the sun's out. It starts getting to these ridiculous temperatures, and yeah, this is fantastic. And so. You know, while I will miss Fender Bender for the next couple of months, at least it does mean we have plenty of time to enjoy the fabulous Australian summer.
Just wear some clothes next time you come to the studio, Dan. Okay?
Does anyone really insist on that? Come on.
No. Look, it's true. It's true. But it's becoming a hot summer, as we can see and feel right now. So we're going to try and keep you cool for the afternoon. If you are in Melbourne or South Australia, there is a change coming. So that is very exciting news. And hopefully the firefighters can do their best in South Australia. But we're not about weather here. We are about cars, aren't we?
We so are. And we've got loads to fit in because we've got to make sure we talk about all the things we possibly can before the Fender Bender drought starts.
It will be a bit of a drought, won't it? So 3 months. We are off for 3 months. But if you miss us in that period, you can always go to joy.org.au/FenderBender because we are right up to date with our podcasts, and they are terrific, and the wonderful Kyle has been doing a bang-up job all year, so big thanks to him. And of course, this show that you're listening to right now will also be podcast in the coming weeks, so you will never ever run out of Fender Bender. Do you know what I mean?
That's a lovely guarantee to give people.
Well, or any of Joy's wonderful programs. So get online and get into it, guys. And we're going to get into it right now. This is a typically quiet time of year, isn't it? Not much really gets released. Not much happens in the world of motoring over this period, right?
Everyone who's involved with the news-making scene in motoring just kind of puts their hands over their ears and just says, nothing is happening for the next 2 weeks. It's just a gentleman's agreement.
Yep.
That being said, the Detroit, or the North American International Motor Show in Detroit, kicks off in about a week's time. I'm fortunate enough to be going over there for it, which will be fantastic. And there is some stuff starting to trickle out related to that. There's a technology show in America called CES. It's taking
on
more prominence.
Time?
Just before.
Okay.
It's taking on a lot more prominence now, especially because technology and cars, they're melding ever closer together. Cars are basically computers on wheels these days.
Yeah.
So the news is starting, but you're right, the last couple of weeks has been pretty quiet in automotive land.
It has been, but look, the little trickles coming out, and we're going to start right here in Australia. Little trickles, yeah, you can wear things that stop those.
Tim been overindulging slightly in the festive period there.
Just
a little trickle coming
festive
out.
Festive period?
Oh dear.
This is getting despicable.
Oh, excellent.
What a surprise. Look, sticking on the despicable front, have you guys heard of Summonats?
Oh dear.
Have this? I heard of Summon House? Yes. I am the child of a Bogan household. I was born into Summon House.
Oh no. Mm-hmm. Listen to it.
No. I think Mike actually was delivered on the back seat of a Monaro doing a burnout.
It was a Sandman. Okay, get it right.
Okay, sorry.
That's true. Look, if you haven't heard of it, it is a big, I don't want to use the word Bogan, but it is a big festival of hotted up cars, hot rods, and from what I can gather by the video footage, breasts. There seems to be a lot of people lifting their tops up and going, woohoo, it's really cool that I'm here with little cars. I don't particularly get it myself. But
And that's pretty much the review complete of Summer Nuts. If that sounds like your kind of thing, that's pretty much all you get.
But there might be more to it. And if you do know more about it, if you've been to Summer Nuts, we would love to hear from you. 0427JOY949 is the text line, or email on air at joy.org.au. But a lot of people gather. It's in Canberra, which I always find very strange that it's in Canberra. Canberra's pretty staid. It's kind of a bit conservative town. And then once
has
a year...
Has lots of roundabouts,
has
though.
Lots of, so, you know,
there it is.
Yeah,
gotcha,
there's
come full circle, I think.
Wow, well, literally.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the other two things that Canberra is really famous for, which, of course, is fireworks and pornography. So, you know, you've got everything you need for Summer Nuts.
It's true. I don't know if the porn industry's so big there anymore, because it's online.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really hit Canberra hard, too. The economic drought there is just palpable.
Fishwick's dead. Look, anyway, Summer Nuts, it's pretty big. It's happened again. And this year, I feel like we can really stand up where our... Southern Cross tattoos with pride because Australia, ladies and gentlemen, is now home to a Guinness World Record for...
This is so ridiculous.
For a... I don't know how to say it because it's the world's biggest burnout.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Essentially.
The most number of cars simultaneously doing a burnout. So, and the record is, Tim?
103 cars.
103, that's actually quite a lot.
It's pretty impressive. Actually. Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, the air quality in Canberra would actually have been detrimentally affected for a short time during that record. Can you imagine?
It's embarrassingly good.
Previously, the record was, now, tell me if you see a correlation with the number here and some of that, but the previous record was 69 cars.
Oh, thank goodness.
So.
But there's a very interesting thing to that for me, because, you know, if you're trying to break a record, they could have just done 70. But they're like, no, if you're going to do something, do it properly.
Yeah.
And 103.
Yeah.
It's not like a particular number.
No.
There's no significance to that number as far as I can tell.
No.
It's just 103. I'd like to see the record smash it.
If I'd had more time before the show, I'd like to have sat down and done a small sort of cigarette box calculation of how much fuel that used. Can you imagine?
It would be actually pretty... It wouldn't... The greens would not be happy.
No, and you can guarantee that the cars involved were not Priuses. They would have been something a little less
Although,
efficient.
Although, if there was a Prius, that would have been amazing.
Yeah. Been awesome.
Adam Bant in a Prius.
Oh, my God. Getting the girls out. Oh, yeah. I'd love to see
the
that.
The world's most green burnout.
That needs to happen.
Yeah.
So good on Summer Nats. We will find out what they do next year, what kind of obscene number they get for next year's attempt.
Dear,
but good on them for getting in the Guinness World Record book. Now, moving overseas, guys, again, not a huge amount to reveal, but a fairly significant car, I guess, the next generation BMW 7 Series has leaked online. Again, this leaking we were talking about earlier.
Dear.
So we've seen some images of a cloaked 7 Series, and people have lifted up the covers and kind of taken some snaps. It looks like a 7 Series.
Okay.
BMW's sort of, I don't know, it's a bit uninspiring at the moment, isn't it, with its design.
Come on.
Well, I mean, there are certain BMWs that I still love. You know, the 2 Series and the I Series, the i3 and i8 are fantastic. But, I mean, I look at the fact that most of its mainstream cars have gotten a little bit, not boring, but just a bit safe lately.
Yeah.
And I hope that perhaps the 7 Series is the flagship car, would be the one where BMW would make a big statement, a big bold statement.
Yeah.
Say, this is our future. We're going to go back to being edgy. If they ever were. No, it doesn't appear that way at all.
Well, go on, sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say there was a concept, I don't know if it was this year or, last year or the year before, I think that Gran Lusso concept, which was quite a beautiful looking thing. And we all thought, it's going to take cues from that. Which
didn't.
It hasn't. It looks like it's got a slightly swoopier back on it than the current one, which wouldn't be that difficult. But yeah, it's pretty... Look, it's not an unappealing design. It's fine. And I think they make some of the best cars to drive in the world. I completely agree, Mike. But I think the styling... I don't know. I think they're not moving it to the next level like Mercedes are at the moment, to a lesser extent.
I totally agree in the case of the 7 Series, but the fact that they haven't made it particularly spectacular, for me, adds fuel to the fire that they will be doing a new series above the 7 Series, potentially a 9 or a 10 series.
And I reckon, 10 series?
Well, I mean, it's all speculation, but I think that if they are going to do anything sensational with a big sedan, luxurious sedan, they're saving it for whatever that's going to be. And the reason they potentially would do that is because 7 Series used to be an ultra-exclusive luxury car, which now is actually way more affordable, and there are lots more of them on the road. So the argument is, and nothing confirmed yet, that they will introduce another Halo flagship above the 7 Series, which
may... Do you know where that car would be really popular? It would be popular in China, because in China,
absolutely.
The culture is you're driven, you don't drive, if you're wealthy, of course. And so those sorts of cars do really, really well. And China is the biggest market in the entire world now. So it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So that might be why they're reserved the styling a little bit for 7 Series.
Well, potentially, yeah. It'll be interesting to see, actually. And I don't know when we're going to see the actual real car, but at some point this year, because it's this year now.
Geneva. In March.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Right. Excellent, eh? Coolio. Look, some other not-so-exciting things. So the CES... Well, not that sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? CES, you were mentioning before, Mike, a couple of things that we know about. Apparently, Mercedes are going to reveal an autonomous driving concept. I don't know much about this, but this is the way a lot of companies are going.
It is, and a lot of companies are saying 2020 is a signpost, where Nissan said it and Mercedes has said it, a few others as well, that this is when we're going to have cars that drive themselves. Audi have a concept out there that can do a lap of one of the world's most famous racetracks by itself now. And you talk to people that work at senior levels in car companies, and they basically say that the holding back element for autonomous cars isn't the actual cars, it's the regulations that go with the cars. So roads aren't ready for it, people's mindset aren't ready for it, but the cars themselves are basically ready to drive themselves. And I would suspect that this car would be, I mean, Mercedes is already doing incredible things alongside many others, and this car will obviously have to build on that, otherwise why show it? So it would be safe to say this car can essentially do everything by itself, almost.
It's going
to
be like 2020. It's going to be like all the horses lined up in the stalls for the start of the Melbourne Cup. It's going to be all these autonomous cars all ready to go, and they're all saying, come on, let us out. And all it takes is just one bit of legislation, and suddenly they'll all be gone. Did we talk about the Google car now is in a proper, full, all-inclusive prototype? They've had various different... If we haven't, for the benefit of... Yeah.
I absolutely love autonomous cars, because... Most people aren't car enthusiasts like we are. For most people, a car is just a necessary evil. It's a means to an end. I have to get somewhere. And if you can drive on a road where 95% of cars are behaving precisely as they should, driving the correct speed, in the correct lane, doing all the right things...
We can behave like lunatics.
Exactly. It leaves room for the enthusiasts not to drive like lunatics, but to have the...
I'd like to drive like lunatics.
Well, yeah, we all would. But to have... be free of impediments on the road.
Yeah.
That'll be amazing. Yeah. As long as there's always a mechanism for you to take over the control if you want to. Yeah. I think autonomous cars are the best.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
It's very exciting.
And you'll never have to make awkward conversation with a cab driver ever again.
Oh, God.
You can just drive.
I love
that.
I love the awkward conversation.
What I really like is, you know, you can bond with your car because it can drive you to, the airport, and then you can just program it and send it home again.
Give it a little
just
kiss.
Thanks very much. Just thanks, car, and just it can go on its own way home.
Well, Batman did it first. Michael Keaton in the first Batman movie.
He did. Batman's always been a trendsetter.
Oh, God. Anyway, I won't get on that. Anyway, one final bit of news was that MG have revealed an SUV. The end.
Wrong car.
Yeah, look, MG, Chinese brand from, you know, British heritage. They've got a little SUV that's out.
Yeah, every time MG has a new car coming, you hope maybe they're going to go back to their roots and do a actual MG, a little convertible. Never happens.
No. Oh, apparently it's in the works, but it's been in the works.
I've been saying that for years.
Yep, absolutely years.
You know how I always get a little bit outspoken when it comes to MG and the demise of it?
I wouldn't hear of it.
Okay, all right. So my reputation precedes me on these things. I am the whinging pom, especially when it comes to, you know, really good previous English brands. But I must actually pull myself up on one of these things. MG's never really been that good, have they?
No.
You know what I mean? I make it sound like, you know, used to the Halo years.
This is the third time I'll mention leaking today.
When exactly has MG been any good? You know, I think the last time was the MGA in the 1950s. That was the last good car.
They're not good, but they are cool. And there's so many Triumph TR7s under example. Not a very good car, but a very cool car.
Terrific.
Totally. Had a lot of issues, like a lot of cars do, but they after a few years of rose-colored glasses come on and they get cool, and I guess MG has that going for
it. I span a TR7 once really badly and ended up in some woods, but didn't write it off.
The most British car accident to ever happen.
Well, we all thought Dan was going to go on a rant then, and thankfully that didn't happen. So we're going to move right along. We have actually got quite a lot more coming up on Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, so make sure you stick around. Couple of extremely handsome, lovely gentlemen, Tony O'Kane and Kez Casey, will be popping in to say hello and give us their highlights. We've done our highlights for the year over the last couple of weeks. So they're going to pop in. I know. So they'll pop in and have a bit of a chat with us about what they thought was a top notch and a bottom player in 20.
I thought you were going to say bottom notch.
Well, that is...
That's something we really don't need
to
discuss.
No, we don't. But they will be joining us very, very shortly. They are cooling down in the studio just outside here. But until then, guys, now, we've in the last couple of weeks, we have announced the winners of the Fender Bender Raddest Car Awards, bunch of categories. The overall winner, of course, was the BMW i8, a deserving winner. We're all very excited by it. Now, there's something we forgot to talk about, and that was... something that I love doing because I really like this kind of category, I guess. It's not an award. I think we can all have our own little views on this. But what was the most underrated car that we've driven or experienced or whatever in the last 12 months? It's, you know, something that's flown under the radar.
So is this a category that should have been in...
Well, I don't know if it... Well, I can't remember whether we used to do it as an actual award category.
It's a slippery topic because, I mean, it's all depending on the opinions of other... I mean, if we're talking underrated, we're talking about people who, along with us, work in automotive journalism, who are the people who rate cars, essentially. We're the only ones that actually put a rating on cars. So I guess, you know, it's something that perhaps some of our colleagues didn't like very much, that we thought, hang on, you're wrong, because I actually like it. And I guess maybe that might be where we're heading with this.
I think so. Or something that kind of... I think you mentioned it as well last week or the week before about a car that kind of slipped under the radar a little bit and you had a chance to get into again, which being the Kia Proceed GT.
Exactly. Yeah. Which was a car that I'd forgotten how good it was. I suppose... I mean, it's a really hard one. I've been having a bit of thinking. I'm coming up a little bit empty. but one that does strike me, and I'm saying this mostly because it's going to annoy Dan, which is always a fun thing to do.
Yes.
The new turbocharged Holden Trax. not because it's a brilliant car, because it's not, but as far as those little urban oriented high riding hatch / SUV things go, it's probably, if not the best, it's one of, because it actually fits the brief better than the others. You know, it's roomy, it's spacious, it's cheap, it's well equipped, it has a decent engine, all those things that it needs to have. And when people say that it's average because of X and X and X,
are those X's though, Mike?
People say
let's just dwell on the X's skimmed over.
Okay,
there. It drives like an absolute piece of
doesn't.
Air. It does. It's dreadful. It's got a screaming, nauseating engine.
No,
it's bolted to a terrible gearbox.
The 1.4 turbo is fine.
It's not. It sounds awful and clattery. Put it in a Barina, it sounds awesome. But for some reason, they forgot how to make engines sound good, even though it's exactly the same thing.
I disagree. And I think as far as a car like that is supposed to be, which is spacious, safe, decently equipped, looks kind of cool, all that stuff, it works.
Let's go back to the last one. Looks kind of cool.
It's not a chunky, macho, big wheel arch kind of thing going on.
It's not supposed to look like a Toblerone. You know, that's not good.
There's not a single triangle on it, Dan, so that's nonsense. Yeah. It looks okay. It looks kind of edgy and, I don't know, butch, which is what, you know, it looks like...
Butch!
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely it does.
I cannot think of a less butch car. No, Mirage. There's only one. The Mitsubishi Mirage is only slightly less butch than the Trax.
See, it's funny because I think I'm on Mike's page on this a bit because I...
I see. This is the Everyone Hates Dan episode of Fender Bender.
Yes,
I see. That's fine. Yeah.
And we've only just started. No. I didn't dislike it. And I think compared to the 1.8 litre engine that's in the regular bloody Trax, I think this thing is just so much better than that one.
In fact, the underrated segment's interesting because you talk about Mirages. That's also an underrated car.
Yeah, totally.
Apparently,
agree,
so I've not driven it, but apparently I keep seeing people.
Well, it costs $11,000.
Yeah.
What the hell do you want? It's $11,000.
And you've just given me my most underrated car.
Oh, hang on. Can I guess?
Yes.
It might be the same brand as my most underrated car.
I doubt it.
Is it a Honda?
No.
Ah, okay.
No, it was going to be the Mitsubishi Mirage sedan.
Okay.
I didn't hate that car. I did when I got into it. And then by the end of it, the end of my week with that car, I didn't want to give it away because it was just so zippy and fun and a massive boot. Unfortunately, you can't put the seats
okay,
down.
Yeah. Come on, Dan, come on. You're not going to defend that. You knock me for liking tracks and you let him get away with saying the
Mitsubishi Mirage sedan.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do about that, eh? And you're going to hate me when I say my most underrated car was the Honda Jazz.
There was boring people in the entire world, really. Yeah. That's the three that we come up with.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, isn't it?
Well, it's about being a car that's underrated, you know?
Yeah.
There's an often misconstrued definition of what a car has to be, you know? And just because it isn't 600 horsepower, how many kilowatt, I don't know what these kilowatt things are, you know, and sexy, and just because it isn't all of those things doesn't necessarily mean it isn't a good car.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think for a Jazz, yeah, the Mirage is bargain basement and really good for the money. But I think if you're after a compact car, the Jazz has got probably the best engine under any of the bonnets. Arguably, the Polo, I think, is another one that probably gets into that category
Polo's
as well.
Great. Yep.
I think that's a really...
Polo's not really underrated, though, because it...
It's true. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, for an option in that category, Honda Jazz, I don't think you can do any better. With a manual gearbox, it's sensational. It's really good fun to drive. Brilliant Honda, typical high-revving engine. It's a cute-looking thing. Yeah.
Those magic seats.
And the rear seats, I implore you to find a better set of rear seats in any compact car.
Oh, there isn't. That's the one area where it's really, really good.
I think
I'd put one more car forward, which has just occurred to me, which is the Lexus RC. I talked about this car the other week. But it's a car that you think, okay, Lexus historically plays the runner-up to the Germans. It's a good effort. It's a solid car. You know, if you get a good deal on one, go nice. But the RC is actually a genuine 4 Series BMW competitor.
Yeah. For less money.
Well, at Car Advice, we did a twin test of the two and gave the award to the RC. Like, it genuinely is a better car in a lot of ways, especially to live with day-to-day. It's much more comfortable, much better equipped, more spacious. It's the first time where a Lexus that I can recall has actually beaten one of its German rivals, and not just on price. So it's a car that probably doesn't get the plaudits that it should.
Yep.
You might not like the styling, that's fine, but if you can live with that, it's a brilliant car.
Yep. I'm going to throw one more final one in there, and that's the Skoda Rapid.
Yeah,
which
totally
we've talked
agree.
About before on this car. We're a show. look, it's in that kind of Corolla category, but it gets forgotten about. You barely see them on the roads.
Well, I reckon if you stopped, did a Vox Pop session of 100 people down on Bourke Street, and you said, "What is a Skoda Rapid?" I reckon maybe one would know what it was.
Mm.
Everybody knows what a Corolla is.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what a Mazda 3 is.
Yeah.
But a Skoda, most people probably don't even know what the brand Skoda is, let alone a new model. So it's got this real battle to fight. But do you think that's kind of why it's kind of cool? Because it's the car that your neighbours are definitely not going to have?
Well, you know, unless you live in, like, North Fitzroy or something
they
like that.
They love their Skodas there, don't they? Yeah. They're Yetis as well.
I think it's parts of Sydney. There are, is it maybe Glebe or something? I think it's all about that kind of thing. And it's one of those things. I don't know if Skoda Australia has really done enough to push that car. That doesn't have many variants. There's a little sedan-y liftback version that they don't even have in Australia. I think they've really missed an opportunity there, because that's such a massive market, and they've just given it a little bit of a push, and I don't think it's enough. And it's a great car. It's a great car.
I think it could do a lot better.
Yeah.
With a bit more marketing, advertising way
behind
it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, you know, it's got that coolness about it, that brand. So, that they are our underrated picks for the year.
Yes. If you'd like to disagree with us entirely, you can. How can they do that, Tim?
They can text in on 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. but very shortly we are going to welcome some other gentlemen into the studio as well to join us. But before that, we have some lovely messages. Tim, Mike and Dan are here with you on this scorching Saturday afternoon, and we hope that wherever you are cooling down with some kind of ale or something with ice in it. The ice is in frozen water, nothing else.
Okay, Breaking Bad.
Had to change the tone up a little bit.
Walter White over here.
I know, right? Now, we are also joined in the studio by two lovely gentlemen who have joined us throughout the year, and we're very happy that they could join us for a very brief period just to talk about some highlights and lowlights of the year. Tony Kane, Casey, boys, welcome to the show. How are we?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. You keeping cool?
Doing the best we can. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Tony's always cool.
Is he?
Isn't he?
Not thermally.
Socially though.
Yes.
And in his attitude, he's very cool. So.
My chewed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Even though you are wearing full, like, you're not wearing a short.
No, it's because I look terrible in shorts.
Oh, pish posh.
This is why, this is part of the reason why I'm so cool. You know, I always look good.
When you're not around, we frequently discuss what your legs would be like if we ever saw them.
It's constant. The general
sometimes when he is around. He gets uncomfortable when we do that, so we should probably, you know.
They're just like hairy chicken's legs.
Chicken's legs?
It's not pleasant.
Ooh, wow.
This is why I'm wearing pants, guys.
Anyway, the mission for today is to know, I was going to say, rip Tony's pants off. I did not mean that. But who knows what happens later in the day. Now, we've brought you guys in because we did want to have a chat, of course. We have been banging on for weeks about what we think has been, you know, our highlights for the year. I don't know if you know this. You probably did because obviously you listen to Fender Bender every week. But we gave the Fender Bender Raddest Car of the Year Awards to the BMW i8. Now what do we think of that? What are we, are you happy with our decision?
Yeah absolutely. It's a cool car, it's deserving of it.
We support it, we got some support.
Absolutely. It's a winner, it's the future, and it's now.
It is.
How could you not?
I love, is that the tagline, Kez?
Yes, here's your check.
Kez comes sponsored by BMW today.
He's got a future in marketing, this one. I like
it. It's true. But it's a very exciting vehicle. And there are lots more exciting things coming up. Like, for example, we want to hear what your highlights and lowlights are. So, Tony, for example, do you have a vehicle that you just fell in love with this year, or a story that you thought was wonderful?
Okay, well, in terms of vehicles, I really, really loved, and I know I banged on about this last time I was on the show, but I really love the Tesla Model S. I think it is a landmark car, and I think it changes perceptions about what electric cars are and what they can be, and I think it's just a cracker of a machine. And for what it is, it's actually surprisingly affordable, you know. The common criticism of electric cars is that they're expensive, or more expensive than a petrol or diesel equivalents, but you know, Tesla's proven that's not true.
That's true. It was a close second in our Raddest Car of the Year awards, I'll be honest with you.
Well, it's interesting that these eco cars are now, like, right up the top in terms of not just, you know, efficiency and whatnot, but desirability.
Yeah.
It's definitely come of age, I reckon.
Yeah.
I think that was the theme of 2014 in a lot of ways, wasn't it? It wasn't just the arrival of the technology, but it was the arrival of desirable technology. Mm. Actually aspiring to own an electric car. And if you're a young car enthusiast, you know, boy or girl, you've probably got a poster on your wall of an electric car, like an i8, rather than some big V12 supercar. Mm. So as far as signposts go of the progression of electric cars like that, this was a real, last year I should say now, was a real landmark.
Mm. Yeah. That's very true.
Also, if you're in the market for a billionaire, then on Tesla still, the CEO, managing director of Tesla, is on the market again. He's currently a single man. So
is he?
Yes. He's re-divorced his actress wife, and he's on the market.
What do you mean re-divorced?
Well, they've been divorced once before, and then they got remarried, and then they're divorced again.
Are you serious?
Yes. So she's got away with $20 million, and he is his own single billionaire self again. So if anyone's interested in picking up a rather handsome billionaire in America, then go nuts, I say.
Wowza. Who was his wife? Do we know?
Oh, Tim, you're such...
Well, you said an actress. I need to know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not that up on celebrity. I can find out in next break or something.
We'll find out. Now, Kez, what about your good self? Is there something you've driven this year, or a particular highlight that you've experienced this year?
I think
last year.
I struggle a little bit. I've got two highlights for 2014. And going in the complete opposite direction to Tony, my number one pick would have to be the Maloo GTS.
Awesome.
From HSV. Oh,
you giant bogan. I love it.
Because any of the carbon that you've saved by picking a Model S is well and truly destroyed by the Maloo. But it's just fun. It's a car that HSV didn't have to build, but they did anyway.
Yeah.
And that it's a fun thing. That's how it should be.
Yep.
But that's how the world should be.
That's
just
true.
Just because.
I support that.
But my, I guess, runner-up, which is a pretty close runner-up, would be the Alfa Romeo 4C.
Ooh.
Ooh, see the approval you got from the panel there. Ooh.
All right, so I did one thing right.
Yeah.
But I got to drive that one in a aeroplane hangar earlier in the year.
Superb.
One of the left-hand drive MotoGP support cars.
Yep.
And it's just so much fun.
Okay. Yep. little bit bonkers. I must say, I just this morning I saw an ad for Alfa Romeo America. They're launching the Alfa Romeo brand in America again this year on the back of the 4C. And they've done an ad that was on a website and, you know, said it was a really cool ad. And I watched it and it was all about a man kind of dominating a woman and showing her curves and how men are only attracted to women. And it was actually a bit sucky. It looked beautiful. The ad looked stunning, but it was just all about man's desire. It's like, what about a woman's desire? They buy sports cars too. Anyway, it really, really made my blood boil.
Disappointing, but I suppose there we go. Nice blend of some things America and Italy is known for. So excellent. That's good it. On you guys, just keeping up the national reputation.
Exactly. I must say, Kez, on the GTS, I had forgotten about that car, and I drove that too, and I absolutely, the inner Hamilton Bogan in me came out when I drove it. And I loved every second of that with that car. However, I could never own it because it was just so annoying to drive around town, and that stupid thing on the back, you couldn't see anything. Oh, very frustrating.
I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt one of the reasons you liked driving that car the most.
What would that
be? Yes.
I think I know what it might be, actually.
Would you like to inform my...
I'll let you do it, but okay, I'm just twigged.
Well, a car like that, you know, it's a very butch car, a little bit more butch than Holden Trax, I might say, Mike. And it will attract a certain amount of attention, and it's a certain demographic that the attention is coming from. It's sort of a rather muscly, tradey young man. So I don't know whether that's, you know, coincidental or anything, Tim. And, you know, that's one of the reasons you enjoyed driving that car so much. But
total tradey magnet.
It was. Yeah. It really was. And that's why I drove it naked most of the time. No, I did not. But no, good picks. And what about some lowlights? Was there anything? Did you guys drive anything this year? Or was there a story or something that made you go, oh, that's a bit sad? Or a company? I know that Mike and I had a bit of a go at, I think, Honda in our lowlights for the year.
Almost like, you know, picking on, I don't know, it's just almost too mean with Honda now, because it's fallen so far that it's like picking on someone who's already been picked on enough.
Yeah, but then they do have great products like the Jazz and, you know, soon to be the NSX and that little, not the Vajazzle, what's it called now?
The Vezel. HRV.
HRV, yes, the HRV, I think that'll be a great little thing. So, there's hope there, but it hasn't been a great year for them. But, they were our low lights. What about you guys?
Well, I'm not going to get stuck into Honda because, in my opinion, I don't think they deserve it. You know, they're on hard times, but we got to be
supportive. Tony owns a Honda.
Shut up, man.
He's got two. Sorry.
Okay, well, in terms of genuinely disappointing things, I'd have to say the Jeep Cherokee.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that was... It had so much promise, and the styling's polarizing, but I actually quite liked it. And there's a lot of things to like about that car, but just when you get in it and drive it, it's just so poorly done and so disappointing that, you know, I have to give it the thumbs down. It's very, very, very underdone.
Mm. I think you and I may have had the same. We've spoken about the fact that we had the same exact press car at one point, which had the same exact.
Yeah, we were comparing faults.
And we did that. We did that this morning as well, didn't we, Tim? Our respective companies both had the exact same particular Jeep model on fleet for a little while, and the same problem happened multiple times. So, you know, two or three, it's a pretty small sample size to draw, but it's an ominous thing to see. Problems creeping in on cars that are brand new with some regularity.
And that's, unfortunately, they have that reputation. And it doesn't look like they're kind of shedding that. And I know that they want to improve the quality of their cars, but I think it's an issue. Mm. And as we've said before, unless you own these cars, you don't really know... Mm. What's going to happen down the track, and that's a concern.
I will say, for the sake of diplomacy, not that I insist on it because I don't care, but I will say, if I have to say something good about the Cherokee, I drove the Trailhawk off-road, which is their trail rated version, which has lots of bits and pieces on it. So if you can tolerate things falling off and things stopping working continuously, and you can actually go for a full off-road drive, the Cherokee Trailhawk is exceptional off-road.
Second that. I did some off-road stuff in America in one, and it handled it like where Wranglers were going, it was keeping up. So it can go off-road.
I'd have to agree with that exception for it. I mean, when you're off-road and you're in low range, like, that 9-speed actually makes sense. But when you're on road, I don't think I ever got into even 8th gear in that gearbox. It's just completely pointless. But, Trailhawk, thumbs up.
Yeah.
Every other Cherokee,
Not so much.
Yeah,
shut it down.
Sorry about that. Momentary, uncharacteristic moment of me being diplomatic. So I'll try and get back to normal.
Let's never let that happen again, Dan. What about you, Kez? Anything this year that you were solidly disappointed by?
If I have to pick a low light for 2014... I'm going to go to October when...
Well, the whole month. You can't write off an entire month down point.
I just picked one. I really didn't like it. No, the announcement from Holden that Jerry Doritsis was leaving the position of CEO after 6 months in the job. He'd promised the world he wanted to put Holden back to sales leadership by 2020, I think.
Yep,
I think that's right.
Which, you know... Is a long enough time to potentially do that, but then 6 months later, I don't know if you found out it was too hard or that nobody else wanted to help him, but he was gone.
That was a massive story this year, wasn't it?
You hear certain things from the traps about that. He was a pretty hard taskmaster with his dealers and other things from what you hear. And you know, obviously you don't want to say things without knowing for sure. But when someone comes and goes in such a short period of time, there was obviously an element of conflict, and it was obviously there wasn't the right fit.
Yeah.
And it's pretty unheard of for somebody to go that quickly.
It's astonishing, isn't it? Mm. And they still haven't found a replacement. I'm sure they're in the process of doing that, but they have not announced a replacement.
Holden, in general, really, for the last few months, really didn't have a good forte. I mean, it was consistently dropping sales by 20-25% a month. CEO left after 6 months. It wasn't a good way for it to end the year, the Lion brand. So it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be a company to watch this year and just see whether it can, what it can actually do to reverse the trend. It doesn't have a whole lot of new cars coming. It's got some rebadged Opals or Vauxhalls launching, but they're old cars already.
Yeah.
So if it can actually turn it around this year, it's going to be really interesting to see what it does.
I think their only shining light this year last year, 2014, has been the Commodore. The Commodore's done really well.
And
the Trax, maybe. The Trax has done all right.
Yeah, that's a car. And the Commodore's...
literally in the sales. The Trax has done well.
And the Commodore's a car that's on death row as we know it. Yeah. There'll be a replacement of some sort, but it's not going to be the car that we know. So when that's your shining light, you've got some concerns. Not saying they're not going to pull out of it, but they've definitely got some major concerns.
Yeah.
And Holden's a brand that's probably loved like no other in Australia. So it's a really interesting one.
Time for a shake-up, I say. That's what I say. Now, speaking of shake-ups, it's time for you guys to get the hell out of here, basically. No, I'm just kidding. Tony and Kez, thank you for your insights just now, and also thank you for your love and support all year. We really appreciate it, and hopefully you will return to the seats of Fender Bender next year.
Looking forward to it.
Later
this year. Yeah.
We'd love to, guys.
My New Year's resolution is to not say this year, but not to say last year, to say this year. Yeah.
Exactly. Let's remember that. But thank you, boys. We will see you very, very soon, of course. And we have lots more on Fender Bender coming up, so make sure you stick around. You were listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
It was really impressive that you held your breath for that entire ad break. It was really well done.
I was just trying to show off,
really. You
were
going a bit blue by the end of it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, boys, everyone does it. Everyone does it at the start of the year. You look forward. Yeah? You look forward to what might happen.
I like it when you get all philosophical.
That's my name, philosophical. I don't know what's happening. We do like to look forward and kind of think about what, you know, is probably going to happen. And Mike just touched on it before, but with Holden, for example, you know, maybe we'll find out this year what their plans are, their future model plans. I mean, who the hell knows? But I would rather, you know, I would prefer to look at what we would like to happen this year.
All right.
Like, does anyone want a flying car?
No,
I really don't.
I kind of do, but not that flyy.
The like
small hovercraft.
You don't like getting into helicopters, so why would you have any interest?
Well, that means it wouldn't be that high.
I don't like going upstairs. I don't want to be in a damn flying car.
I think it could work. Then you'd never run over like a possum ever again.
No, you just smash into other flying cars instead.
That's true.
No, but look, if you can apply the autonomy of, you know, ground-bound cars to flying ones, then great. But come on, I can't see it happening.
You know,
we can be quite cynical about autonomous cars, but flying cars, I just cannot see happening.
Really?
No.
Okay.
The logistics are just too complicated. You know, you could perhaps if you made some ultra exclusive way of owning them so that the air wasn't clogged with them and you could actually make a reasonable place to land and take off so that it didn't mean actually using a normal car to get from airstrip to airstrip, then perhaps. But no, I cannot see, even with all our amazing autonomous technology, how that's ever going to work.
I see. Well, obviously you haven't seen Total Recall, so
okay. Tim, I don't think we should really base our theories on fictitious films.
Well, that is, how do you know it's fictitious? Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
I've gone insane. But there are some other things that I think...
We were saving our end of year drinks until after the show had finished.
No, I started early. No, but look, you know, there's some things that I would like to see happen this year. So this is not what we think is going to happen. This is what I would like to see happen. I would like to see more safety features made standard from base models all the way up to the top spec models at no extra cost. And it doesn't matter if it's a prestige car or a Bogo, you know, Japanese car, whatever.
That's a really good
point.
I
want more safety.
I mean, I wrote a story really criticizing Mazda recently with the launch of the new 2. Yes, it's a cheap entry-level car, but even the top-spec $20,000 one, which is a lot of money for a light car, has no reversing camera or no sensors as standard, which is a joke. It's not good enough, and that's a company that fancies itself as a leader rather than a follower, and they're far from the only ones. The Renault Clio and the forthcoming Renault Captur don't even have rear side head-protecting airbags. That's just two examples, and there's a lot more, and a lot of the time it's at higher level as well, especially the German companies that are selling very expensive cars have all the tech in the world, but you've got to pay through the nose to get it. Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you. I think human lives, you know, not to say that, you know, without that technology, it's particularly dangerous, but hey, if you've got the tech, offer it and offer it for at least an affordable amount or for free.
And it's well, that's the thing, Mike, is it's really not expensive gear. You know, cameras now these days in all devices, phones, laptops, they're not expensive bits of hardware. Wiring them into the existing technology is not expensive, and radar sensors are possibly the cheapest electronic component, you know, on one of the entire car. So it's not as if they really should be charging anything more for
it. It's about being sensible. Like, yes, if it's a state-of-the-art brand new piece of autonomous tech, that's going to cost a lot of money. We understand that's going to be optional. Your business, you've got to make money. We're not being deluded about this. But as Dan says, a lot of technology now is really, really cheap. And to charge the amounts that some do just is not.
It's
outright gouging.
Yep. And I think in particular, the Mazda case is pretty shocking. Like, no, to charge for sensors at that level as well. And I just think every car should have parking sensors, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the very least. So that's my little fantasy idea for this year. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I would like 2015 to be the year when we get a marked tipping point in alternative energy for cars. I think, you know, one thing we could really keep our fingers crossed for is more hydrogen power and a rise in to a point where it actually becomes a feasible thing for recharge points for pure electric cars or plug-in hybrids. I think we're at a point, it really won't be long before we find that tipping point where, you know, gestures of alternative energy become feasible day-to-day options that people will actually put money down on. This year we saw Hyundai installing and commissioning the Australia's only hydrogen refueling station. Previously there was one in Perth, but because we are approximately 10 years behind the rest of the world, that was decommissioned. Hyundai now have the only hydrogen refueling station in Australia, in Sydney. And when I spoke to them recently, I said, who do you think will be the next people to install a station? And they said, probably us. So this is an example of a car company with a bit of cash behind it saying, the government is not doing enough. We have to be the ones who make this move. And once they do, and it starts to take off and gain a little bit of speed, then it will be up to the other companies and the government to say why they didn't do it, if it's been shown to work. And I hope 2015 is the year when we see this really start to snowball.
And Tesla's another example that will do just that.
Exactly.
I'd like to see... I've got slightly... I mean, those two things are really good, and I guess my one's probably slightly less ambitious.
Okay.
But I would like to see a return to wagons being in vogue. And when I say wagons, I don't mean... I've spent Christmas in... Christmas, but a few days in a Volkswagen Golf wagon. Now, it's not my favourite car in the world. I'm not quite as sold on elements of the Golf as some people are, but I really love the idea of a simple, basic, low-riding wagon, which is what everyone in Europe buys, and it's what everyone in Australia used to buy.
I understand why SUVs are as popular as they are. I understand the appeal of having a high-riding car. It's easier to get kid seats in and out of. It's easier if you're a bit older to manoeuvre in and out of. You've got better visibility, all these things. But a return, at least in some form, to smaller, lower, more efficient wagons that drive better and generally offer more space for less money is something that I would really like to see people waking up to. And when you look at the spectrum of wagons, from very entry-level, affordable ones such as the Skoda Octavia or the Volkswagen Golf, for the Hyundai i30, through to manic ones like the forthcoming Mercedes C63 AMG wagon, you've got this massive range of options to choose from, and I'd like to see more people going for it.
I'd love that, and I feel there is a small swell of a backlash against SUVs.
That Golf wagon I've got, for instance, has far more cargo space than the most spacious medium SUV, which is the Honda CR-V.
Isn't that crazy?
So you're not buying an SUV for practicality. No. You're only getting a higher ride height. None of them are designed to go off-road.
Yep.
So the wagon, unless you really need that higher driving position, doesn't make doesn't make sense unless you need the higher driving position. So I wish more people would wake up to that, and I hope they do.
Yeah,
I think you're right, Tim. I think there probably is the first tiny signs that people might be reconsidering wagons instead of SUVs. And what I like about our three suggestions or three hopes for the 2015 is one of the last talk topics that we discuss on this season of Fender Bender is the one, probably the only one we've agreed on. So I think that is a wonderful way to have our last talk topic.
Well,
yeah,
it is, and that is perfect timing, Dan Gardner, because we have come to the end of the show.
Always a pro, Tim. I got one eye on my lovely co-presenters and the other on the clock.
I thought that was the case. Boys, thank you so much for another wonderful... Well, it hasn't been a year, really. It's only been 6 months. Thanks for another wonderful 6 months.
It has been fabulous, Tim.
Look, it's been a real hoot. And we will be back. We'll be back at some point in 2015, possibly in 3 months. And that we can't wait to get back. But as I said, if you do want to stay in touch, of course, hit up the Joy website and you can find our podcasts, or you can find us on social media, of course. So thank you, gentlemen.
Tim, I say every time that we're about to sign off for a season, I say, you know, it's very easy for us, the lowly guests, to swan in and out and talk rubbish every week, but it's you that puts in the hard work and does the research and actually makes Fender Bender happen. So, as always, we say the very best thank you and big congratulations to you for making it all happen.
Couldn't agree more.
Thank you so much, guys.
He's getting emotional. Let him go.
I am. Big thanks, of course, to Tony and Kez and other guests throughout the year, of course, Byron Matthew Darkus, Mike Stevens, Fian Tor, Matty Brogan, Anthony and Heath, who are always on the phones doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful work. Emily, who's been fabulous as well, of course, panelling, but also being a wonderful, wonderful director. Specialist Program Director. Thank you very much. And to Andrew Thorpe as well. Big thanks to Kyle for the podcasts as well. And just thanks to our wonderful listeners.
Always.
I would suggest.
Yes, the most important piece of the jigsaw when it comes to anything on Joy 94.9.
Exactly. So thank you, dear listener, for another wonderful year. And we trust that you have a fabulous 2015. My name's Tim Nicholson, signing off for Fender Bender. Safe driving in 2015, guys.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.